Today's second reading teaches us that a little bit about what heaven is like. If you ever felt there's something missing in your life, it's because things aren't the way God originally intended them to be. And he gives us this vision of the world to come so that we will know where our goal is and how to get there and who won the victory for us and something of the meaning of suffering in our lives. So we begin with this extraordinary reading, and John is talking to one of the elders that's around the throne of God. And in the center is an altar, and on the altar is a lamb that was slain. And everyone in the picture has been washed in the blood of the lamb. So the lamb is at the center of this entire chapter. In fact, the center of the whole book of Revelation, the lamb that was slain, the one that was worthy to open the scroll. And so there was a huge number, impossible to count, of people from every race, language, tribe, and nation. So the group that we see here around the altar is, in fact, ourselves. Not just the first century Christians, but all Christians. And all those who have been saved by the blood of the Lamb. So it's a real vision of the future. And we're all going to find ourselves, God, please God, in this picture. And they're standing in front of the throne, which is where God the Father is sitting, and in front of the Lamb, who's on the altar. And under the altar is a river of water flowing out to all the nations. And it's this is the Holy Spirit. So you've got an image of the Trinity. And we have now come before the Trinity, who created the whole world. It's an interesting image because we're living in a place in which we do not know everything. We do not see how life really is. It's a controlled environment that exists only for a time for us. And then we move on to eternity, where the angels are. And we have a vision then. These people are surrounding the throne. And there's three lines that are left out of this reading at Mass that I want to reread, because they're three of my favorite lines in the book of Revelation. Remember last week, two weeks ago, John was sitting in his cave in Patmos, looking out over the bay, and the angel of the Lord came and began to describe this vision he was seeing. So now John is still writing the book that will become the last book of the Bible. And around the throne of God and the Lamb and the water flowing, we have, surrounding it, we have four animals, and we have 24 elders, all the angels standing in a circle around the throne, surrounding the elders and the four animals, prostrate themselves before the throne and touch the ground with their foreheads. And they say, repeat after me, praise,
praise.
Glory,
glory,
wisdom,
wisdom,
thanksgiving,
honor,
power, and
strength
to our God forever and ever. Amen. Next slide. Praise God. I knew there was something missing. So these are very powerful words. They're the seven virtues of God. So we have these four creatures have been traditionally interpreted as being the four Gospels. That is to say, the four writers of the Gospels are standing around the throne, and one of them spoke to us today through the Gospel. And then we have the 24 elders, which are humans. They're two from each tribe of Israel, and they're specially chosen to surround the altar and praise God. And then we have the angels surrounding that. So what we find is it's a world in which angels and humans worship together and know each other and live with each other. And this is a world that we're all going to. And in fact, we live this way now. We just don't know it. The angels are here, but we can't talk to them. They see us because we're still in our time of faith. We're still in life. Until we leave this earth, this is the way it is. It's not normal yet. But we can start to live in heaven. And the reason this is here is because the people of the first century, when John was writing, were going through a terrible persecution in the church. It was not unlike today's times in some ways. The world around them was very hostile to them. Nero was persecuting the church when this was written. And it was written to give these people hope. So these are people who have been through the great trial. one of the elders, the 24, around the throne, along with the four creatures, the angels, and the multitude, comes over to John, who's writing. Different people speak to him in the book of Revelation. Now it's one of the elders, and he leaves his place around the throne, and he says to John, "Who are these people, John, and how have they come here?" John has no idea. He says, "You know better than I do." He says, "These are the people who have been through the great persecution and have washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. And now they sit. Now they praise God day and night throughout all eternity." And what do they say? Praise, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and strength to our God forever and ever. Amen. You know, they are not the only ones that are going through persecution. These people are all standing there holding palms in their hands, and they're wearing white robes. What's the symbolism of a white robe again? Purity, baptism, and being washed in the blood of the Lamb. So when a person, how does a person get to be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Baptism. Confession. What is reconciliation? It is being washed again after baptism. Because we all sin. And so that's a way to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. When we repent and turn to God, we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. The Lamb, this is actually an image of Mass. It's also an image of the first of the sacrifice in the temple that is no longer there. If you have not experienced first century temple worship, or you have not experienced Mass, you cannot fully understand the book of Revelation, because it is a divine liturgy. If you look at the passage immediately before this, you see that, for example, at various times in the book, there will be an altar of incense right before the altar, a boat of incense, and this is the prayers of God's people soaring aloft before the throne of God. This is why we use incense in the Catholic Church. Don't use it too much here. It plugs up my nose, and it's also ventilation isn't too good in here. So, but that's, we use those at high masses like Easter. And so the liturgy then offers us the Lamb that was sacrificed on the altar. You see, it is the Eucharist. It is the blood of Christ and the body of Christ. Christ's body, the Lamb of God, his blood. We are not only washed in it, he invites us to drink it. And it is offered the Lamb of sacrifice. You know, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We are washed clean of our sins by the blood of the Lamb. So the Mass is at the very heart of this reading. And if you don't know that, it's like not having the skeleton key to unlock the book of Revelation. Now, these seven words, I duplicated them to you for a reason, not just so you can help me at the homily, but I invite you to take them home with you and place them somewhere where it can remind you what to do when you are in trouble. These are great words to use when things are going well. You know, like today's a beautiful day. You know how it is in Oregon? Maybe raining till June after today. But whether it's raining or sunny, we say the divine praises, you know? And if you're having particularly a time of persecution, which we all have, a trial, this is a time to use these words. The great trial that these people have been through was, of course, many of them were martyrs, but all people will be there, and they're holding in their hands the palm of victory. How can we win the victory if we haven't done battle? And what are we doing battle against? The enemies within us and outside of us. The temptations inside of us and those around us and the trials around us that we have to live with. I've been using these words for a couple of weeks now in various situations, and I find it very liberating. It's very powerful. You know, it's not our wisdom that we're calling on, but God's wisdom, not our power, but God's. These people have all been touched by the Lord, and they're washed not in their own blood, even though many of them are martyrs, but the blood of the Lamb who saves us. I had an incident this week. I said I I will tell this at this Mass because I've been at the other two. My first car was a Vega. Thank you. I'm accepting condolences after Mass. But I had it 9 years, and I put 200,000 miles on it, which is a miracle, like the second coming of Christ. And then I had an Escort. I had a very ugly car, which I mentioned at a previous Mass once. I had a Saturn for 16 years. I wish I could have kept it another 16, but it just couldn't make it anymore, you know. We all wear out. So I have a Prius now. And I ran over something. There is a sign missing in the parking lot. And I ran over that sign. It's that the one we auctioned off last night. And it went under the front end of my car and came up out the back end. Didn't do too much damage, but it was enough that, well, guess what I said? Well, all right, what did I say after that? I said, praise, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and strength to our God forever and ever. Amen. And then the next day I asked Jim to take that sign out, which we did, but we're changing where that spot is. But I mention that because these words unlock the power of God. You know, we do battle. Sometimes it's our own fault, and a lot of times it isn't. But when we call on God, suddenly Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Shepherd, leads us to the springs of living water, never to hunger and thirst again, never to have the sun scorching us or the wind plaguing us or the rain beating on us. God wants us to live in heaven already, not with our eyes, but with our faith, not to see, but to begin to live the way they do, which is to thank God in all things. From their perspective, all the things that happened to us, even that somewhat trivial incident that wasn't at the time, all of these things make sense to us from that point of view. We see that everything in our lives had meaning. Everything had a purpose. God worked it to good in our lives. So we begin to praise God even for these disasters that occur. And when we get started with that now, it really opens the power of the Spirit in our lives. So our Lord invites us to wash our robes in the blood of the Lamb, through our baptism when we use holy water, through confession when we have a serious sin, when we take the Eucharist in the body and blood of Christ, or a spiritual communion if you don't receive yet, and also in our daily act of thanksgiving. And God is particularly glorified when we thank Him when things are not going well. That is the greatest sign of trust that we can have in our lives. It unlocks the power of God. Give it a try this week. Praise, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and strength to our God forever and ever. Amen.